think about cheese? Make your thoughts cheesier. Now add 100% chicken breast fillet, chipotle sauce and a mega cheese melt. And it's giving the new cheesy chicken stack at McDonald's. Did we mention it's cheesy?
Cheese.
Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. I am so excited to be back with Dr. Yvette Rose. Today, we're going to be talking about the hidden gift of the breakdown. So if you're spiraling right now, and if you think and feel like your life might be over, perhaps this is a breakthrough. This is what you've been waiting for. This is going to propel you into the next level of your life. So stay tuned because we're going to get really deep into this. So Dr. Yvette Rose is a holistic counselor, and she's an internationally celebrated trauma recovery expert. She has a series on our channel, and she is back to talk all things breakthrough. Before I give her the stage, I want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship, and to our audience and our fans, please do not forget to like and subscribe. So it's really good to see you. It's been hilarious. All of our Zoom issues, it's like temperamental. There's a breakthrough waiting to happen in this
episode. We definitely have had some challenges, but we got to the breakthrough as well. So that's good.
We did. That it happened a lot quicker for us than it normally does in real life. But I guess we're lucky.
Exactly. I'm excited. It's going to be a good one. It's an interesting topic, isn't it?
It is, because it's so like when you're having a breakdown, it literally feels like life is over. Like you can't see out of the dark hole, and you're like, oh my God, like everything is different and I don't know what's going to happen. And it's a terrifying place to be.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, Lisa, if you can relate, if that's maybe something where you have been as well, and feel free to jump in when you also have maybe a story to tell, because I think at the end of the day, when we start to just bring this all together, and the more people that I talk to, we all have our story. We all have our breakdown. We all have our breakthrough. And sometimes that breakdown lasts a little bit longer for others than for someone else, right? So it really looks and feels different for all of us. It has different colors. It has different emotions. It has different feelings. It has its own unique narrative. But at the end of the day, how I see we also survive or thrive after the breakdown, right? There's a difference between surviving it and thriving after it. And this I also see in different clients and different students that I work with. It's not always that perfect sunset at the end of each breakthrough. And I definitely can relate to this. So because this, for me, personally speaking, and what I'm seeing in people as well, this can be such a sensitive topic to address. I'm actually going to talk about my own breakthroughs, but I'm also going to talk about my breakthroughs that didn't really go so well, that was labeled by people as a breakthrough. But actually for me, it was pretty much one of my darkest night of the soul. And I find that when people label something as a breakthrough, but for you, it feels like the very end, that can be quite an invalidating experience. Because it makes people feel helpless. Right? I shouldn't be feeling this. What I'm thinking, feeling is
why
wrong.
Why do I feel so shitty, right? Like,
So I do want to bring a little bit of emphasis on this, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they're speaking freely and they're giving advice freely, but they don't always understand that what they went through, and then speaking of it as if though this breakthrough is going to have a good ending or it's meant to feel a certain way. We see the world differently. We have different filters, which is set up by our childhood, by predispositions, by maybe there was more abuse in someone's life than the other. Some people are more resilient to certain stress factors in their life versus someone else who's not. So all these different experiences can taint these filters differently and for us to see things differently. So as an example, there was a time where when I had, and I've spoken to this quite a few times, where I actually had my stress-induced heart attack. And I cannot tell you how many people said to me, wow, but you know, that's really interesting because that was a breakthrough. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you're labeling something that you don't even understand. That was not a breakthrough. I collapsed. And what happened after that was not a breakthrough. And this is what a lot of people don't see. We all want to slam this happy ending label on everything. Or, you know, people make it about marketing. They want to sell you into their work. People don't stop and pause and say and talk about the ugly that can also come from something that's perceived or labeled as a breakthrough. I mean, yes, it can give someone a certain sense of, oh, the positive upliftment. Oh, this is not going to last forever. Oh, there must be something good at the end of this. I get that. That's the carrot and the stick. But we cannot go through an experience with our eye on the end goal and then glaze over what we're feeling in that moment, because whatever we're glazing over or, you know, putting a Band-Aid on a chronic wound, it's going to come back in a different way. Or internally, it's going to affect other parts of the body, maybe, right? So that stress-induced heart attack that I had was because of so much stress going on in my life. I was living a great life, don't get me wrong, but I had poor boundaries. And the core foundation under my success was very faulty. And because of that, I couldn't sustain what I had long-term. And what happened was when I hit that breakdown, I didn't have the self-worth to ask for proper support. So now you can see that my supposed breakthrough didn't really go as well because I had such a negative association with support, number one. And sometimes in life, when we go through a breakdown, the thing that we need the very most is often the thing that we fear the most. And that is support. Totally.
Yes.
The ego says, no,
100%.
No, don't control me. I don't want to feel vulnerable. I don't want the world to know that I'm not okay. Because that front, that facade that we've invested our whole life in is falling apart. But in order to sustain that, we need some new level of support because the support structure and foundation that we created for ourselves is collapsing. So that self-sustainable cycle and way of life is now showing its true colors.
Yeah.
And it's not strong. It doesn't have the long, it doesn't have that endurance to sustain ourselves long-term. And that's what happened to me. So when I had this complete and utter breakdown, you know, it's Lisa, the world really had to push me to my knees before I would ask for help. Because support for me meant I'm going to be controlled. I'm not allowed to ask for the kind of support that I need. Because I can't tell you how many people I know who are fully supported, but they feel utterly unsupported because it's not the kind of support that they need.
Yeah, they still feel like they're not seen.
Right? And that makes such a big difference. And it's not even just feeling unseen. It's I don't have the foundation under me to move forward. Yeah. And most importantly of all, to move forward safely. So when this breakdown is coming up, number one, sometimes people have a fear of being supported because of prior trauma that they have associated with it. Their wiring, their program for support is not healthy. So of course, they're going to fear that the past is going to repeat itself. Secondly, a lot of people have such a fear of change, which is normal. We are negative biased. We're biologically programmed and designed to be negative and pessimistic and actually mistrusting. And that includes being mistrusting of change. And the other part that a lot of people don't understand and what they fight against, right? What they judge and attack and fight against is that nervous system that has lived its whole life to be regulated by this unhealthy environment.
Yeah, 100%.
And when this unhealthy environment collapses, the nervous system is now in its state of absolute and utter panic. So what we do is we try to deal with the symptoms of this breakdown and how it makes us feel, instead of taking a few steps back and coming back to what we need to feel safe. Because what we need to feel safe used to be unhealthy. Because normally unhealthy circumstances, that's the breakdown. It collapses because deep down, there's a part of you that is asking for more, that is asking for something healthier, that's craving something better. And the universe has heard you. But sometimes the breakdown is us holding on to something that is completely outdated.
Yeah.
Now, here's the challenge. If we don't transition through that breakdown in a relatively normalized pace, which can sometimes be a few weeks or maybe months, depending on what you also need to rebuild, that also depends. But God, let me tell you, for some people, not all, support is imperative. A lot of people can function well without support because of their wiring, because of their predispositions. Some people need support. I needed support despite what I've been through in my life, despite the resiliency that I had within. This was my time to call in support. However, I didn't call in support because of the trauma and the stress that I had associated with it. And what happens when we go through a breakdown and we stay in that dark place too long, this can become our new lifestyle. This can now become the new struggle that the breakdown is trying to replace. And this is where it can become really dangerous. This is where it holds this breeding ground for maybe a new mental health challenge to potentially, not always, but to potentially surface. Because if I stay in the state of struggle, what happens? I personally speaking, started to suffer from depression. Real full-blown depression. I refuse to take medication. Now, here's my other, kicking back, because sometimes people push back towards medication and I'm not praising it. But sometimes during emergencies, it has its place. You can wean your way off of it again. You can wean your way off of it again with professional support. And so this is now that fine line. Now, this is the dance between, am I going to get through this breakthrough in a healthy way? Or is this now going to become another struggle that I have to learn how to overcome again, right? Meaning, is there now a second breakthrough going to wait for me, hopefully, if I can get through this new pain point that have now been created and established because there's a fear of adding extra resources to uplift and support you out of that. And I had to learn the hard way. So in my breakdown, I had a second breakdown because I couldn't allow support in. And then ultimately, I realized that I needed to work on my relationship with support. And I did. And that's when I slowly started to call support in. And not just any support, but the right support. Because if you have trauma associated with support, there's still a high chance that you might call in support because you're not connecting to and recognizing still what is healthy for you and what is not. Those red flags, they sometimes look pink. You see, so it's really about adjusting our filters based on our internal world and the trauma that we have felt and experienced. And going through that healing process. And so what happens is when we stay in a state of struggle for too long, that motivation that we start to feel to get out of it, the dopamine responses start to now become adjusted rather than the dopamine firing off when we do get to the outcome. But the dopamine now starts to fire off during the struggle. And this is how we subconsciously even end up becoming programmed subconsciously through the struggle. If that struggle remains long enough, now, the brain region for motivation is also in the hippocampus, which is our emotional brain. So you can see how these two closely correlate, that if that cycle doesn't do well and it starts to wire itself with these dopamine being released in moments of struggle rather than the outcome of getting out of that struggle.
Yeah, it's going to be a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. And it's a nasty, nasty cycle. And it's a tough cycle to break if you don't have proper and adequate support. And having someone that at least can be outside of the problem, that can give you a clear perspective, and then gently guide you through the next steps as to what needs to happen. Right. Yeah. So this is where that struggle can become ongoing. It can become prolonged. And that's absolutely something that happened with me, because when I went through that breakdown, that stress, you know, there was a significant relationship breakdown at the same time. And I got stuck in this victim state. I got stuck in the struggle. And identifying myself as a victim became my new identity instead of the successful Yvette that I used to be. And it was like when someone actually asked me that question once, when I was going through therapy and support to uplift myself, right, to get out of this. And that person said, what if we took away your victim identity? How would you feel then? I think the person went too fast into the reality of it, because I absolutely reeled. I'm like, I'm not a victim. And I went spastic.
I got defensive.
Because it hit the button on the head, but the person was right. But yeah. I couldn't see it. So it was a gentle backtrack again and learning and understanding, but who am I outside of struggle? Who am I if I'm not always sad? Who am I if I don't always feel depressed? Who am I if I'm not always sitting there feeling sorry for myself and not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel? So it was literally rebuilding my sense of self, my sense of identity out of this mode of struggling, because struggling, it's supposed to be a passing experience. Yeah. It was never meant to become a lifestyle. And you know, I know this because I have been through this, and I have seen people going through incredible breakdowns. And then when they get through to the other end, yes, their life is not always the same. It's not. But I have seen how people adjusted to that and readjusted what their new definition is of happiness, success, a relationship with themselves. Whatever it is that broke down, we need to recreate a new definition for what it is that we want. Because that old definition of what we wanted was so toxic and unhealthy that it ultimately created this unhealthy platform that has now collapsed. So it's not just about creating a new way of life, a new lifestyle. It is creating and redefining it to the utmost detail. And I didn't appreciate the power of that until I myself had to go through it. I had to redefine what my identity is. I had to redefine what happiness is. I had to redefine, most importantly, and listen, everyone, most importantly, if there's ever a definition that you want to redefine in your life that needs to take the absolute utmost top priority, is your definition of safety. What is your definition of safety? Safe love, safe relationships, safe support. And Zoom is even agreeing with me. So you see, these are all I mean, this is the core foundation, the holy grail of graceful change after a breakdown. Because there is a breakthrough. It's more a matter of how well we cope with that. If you have already an existing mental health challenge, all more so the reason to get support and to get adequate support, get proper support. There's beautiful blends of holistic interventions and proper medical intervention that can be blended. Nothing has to be black and white. It's really about finding what gives you peace in your heart and what makes you feel good. And that is the path to follow. At least for me, that is what worked really well. So I had my beautiful blend of medical intervention and holistic intervention. It can be anything from sound healing, color therapy, you know, hypnosis. It can be, you know, working with a psychiatrist combined maybe with breath work. There's so many beautiful interventions where you can have all these tools to yourself available to support yourself as well. And it's about creating a sustainable support system where the support is not just all outside of you, but that support system should teach you how to support yourself at the same time. That is what I call empowering support and not dependent support, right? So this is why the blend between the two is so incredibly important, because that will help you to rebuild self-trust. That will help you to rebuild that belief back in yourself, because circumstances can come along and it can knock your foundation out from under you. And you feel like you're starting all over, completely all over. So this is where, why, and how finding the best proper support for you is so fundamental. It's absolutely fundamental. So this is where we're looking at that fine line that you and I discussed between having a breakthrough and when does it become a lifestyle? When can it slide into something that can cause even maybe a mental health challenge, and versus it actually being a real true breakthrough?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I hope for everyone that's really going through this right now, if you're really feeling this, what is your definition of safety? And what can step, what, and does it have to be a big step, but what small step can you start to take in your life to start to redefine what is that new, that is, what is that new definition of safety? Maybe you intellectually know what it is, but your nervous system hasn't quite adjusted to that. I would make that my first point of priority with proper support. Because when you, when your nervous system can feel safe with its new environment, that is when it's going to become a breakthrough. Because everything will feel so much more doable when you feel safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope that helps. Yeah.
It does, definitely. And you hit the nail on the head. People are terrified of asking for help. And I also love how you said that, you know, we need to have the right support who empowers us to support ourselves. Because a lot of people, they don't believe in themselves. They credit their therapist or their energy healer or whoever for helping them feel better, but really they're feeling better on their own. So they need to take that back and then be able to support themselves when they're no longer able to see their therapist. Like the time in between is where they need the most help, right? So
there we go. Exactly.
So that definitely helps a lot. I know you only have a short time with us today. We welcome you back. Thank you so much for being here today and for talking about what an actual breakthrough is and how to get through it.
Beautiful. And I look forward to our next episode. It'll be fun.
Yes, me too.
So everyone come back and check it out.
Everyone come back and check it out. And if you are struggling, reach out for help, you guys. Just do it. Do it. We're telling you. Avet and I are telling you, do it. Take care, everyone.
Support is the best. Bye, everyone.